Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour three of the show, Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk coming on in just a second. Also, the NCAA has made some changes to a couple of football rules targeting overtime on that list. We will get into that. Pretty big news coming earlier tonight. Plus, Scott Woodward, he chatted on Sports Talk with Christian Garrick earlier, the new LSU athletic director. We will hear from Scott Woodward's bottom of the hour and Sports Libs. Like usual. NBA playoffs today. Toronto closed out Orlando 115-96. They win that series 4-1. And the Sixers 122-100. They win that series 4-1 against Brooklyn. In progress right now, Denver all over the Spurs 73-49. And Oklahoma City leads Portland in that fiery series 37-29. Start of the second quarter out there in Portland. The Blazers are quitting themselves much better in the playoffs this year than they did last year against those New Orleans Pelicans. Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk and NBCSports.com joins us now to talk a little NBA playoffs. Kurt, how you doing? And a couple of more series wrapped up tonight.
Yeah, I did. I think in the East, we kind of knew how this was going to shake out. Like, Brooklyn certainly put up a fight, and there was some drama, but there was, especially after Victor Oladipo got hurt for the Pacers, there was a real distinct line between the top four and the bottom four in the East. So now we get on to the fun part of the Eastern Conference, where it's just rock, paper, scissors, and nobody's sure who's coming out of it.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's talk Bucks and Celtics, which I think it's just going to be absolutely fascinating. And the Bucks just obliterated the Pistons. I think second biggest margin of victory over four games in NBA history in a sweep. And they certainly seem like they're a worthy number one seed, even though some people were questioning that.
I think that was good for their confidence, because I think that was legitimately fair to ask, you know, hey, how good their confidence was going to be. Did they have the energy? I mean, this is a team that has been to the playoffs before. They do have some background, but were they ready for this? A Detroit team that, you know, didn't have Blake Griffin for the two, and then had a one-legged Blake Griffin basically for the last two games. Like, that just gave them confidence. Now they're rolling. They're going to take that into a Boston team, though, that really matches up well with them, that gives them a lot of problems. And it really kind of stems basically from Milwaukee defensively wants to keep Antetokounmpo and, in particular, Brook Lopez back in the paint, clog it up, dare you to shoot, you know, use their length to close out and create steals, but take away easy buckets inside. Well, if Al Horford's out there picking, popping from three, then you better come out and cover him. And it creates a lot of matchup problems for them. It's going to be a really fascinating chess match.
Enough matchup problems in your mind where Boston is the favorites, even though they're the lower seed in that series?
I think it's a seven-game series. I think it's a toss-up, but I picked Boston for that reason. I just think they're experienced. They've got enough playmakers. Kyrie Irving, I don't know if you know this, he's shown up in the finals before and made some plays. So I just,
right.
You know, viewers may remember those moments. So I just got a feeling that push comes to shove, I trust them to make the plays. This was a series I really believe could go either way. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Well, so the Sixers and Raptors have closed out their series. They will meet in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And like you said, Kurt, that's another fascinating series we're going to get to watch play out.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Does Philadelphia have the depth? Because that's one of the strengths for Toronto. I mean, yeah, they've got Kawhi Leonard now, and they're, you know, Pascal Siakam has obviously made this huge leap this year, and they've got all this versatility they can throw at you. But at the end of the day, I think what's fascinating for them is just they bring some experience. They know who they are. Right? Like, Toronto has an identity, and they've spent a lot of this season, even with all the changes, trying different lineups all season long. Just they were really prepping for the playoffs all season long. They treated this season differently than previous ones. Philly, you know, I mean, thrown together team, lots of talent, but can that mesh fast enough? And by the way, is Joel Embiid really 100%? Because if he's not, like, they're just not the same team. When he's not as explosive, if he's not out there, he could miss a game against Brooklyn and they could survive. not next round, not against Toronto. I think that they've got to have all hands on deck, and I'm still not convinced that's going
to
be enough.
Yeah, good point. Talking to Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer and managing editor for NBCSports.com. Talking NBA playoffs. Let's go out to the West and the series that are ongoing, games ongoing tonight. Are you surprised at how well Portland has acquitted themselves so far against Oklahoma City, although they're losing by 9 right now to the Thunder at home?
Yeah, we'll see if that changes in this game. Portland tends to have runs in them for these kind of things. A little bit, I thought when they lost Nurkic to that, you know, rather gruesome leg injury, not rather gruesome, painfully gruesome leg injury, he'd been such a great player for them this year. And if you hadn't watched a lot of Portland, it's easy to say their third best player, but frankly, probably their second best player for long stretches of this season. He was their outlet when you trapped Lillard, and he became a better playmaker. He was scoring inside. He was doing a great job defensively in the paint. Like, everything was going right for him. And when they lost him, I just didn't think you were going to get good play out of Enes Kanter, who's been really fantastic this series and actually weirdly played good defense for stretches. They've just been better than I thought without Nurkic. And on the flip side, Oklahoma City, turns out you need shooters. Turns out you got to put the ball in the hole, man. It turns out at the end of the day, like, part of the game. And Russell Westbrook hasn't been efficient all year. And if they're not getting it from Paul George and some of the role players, they really struggle.
Can you explain this Dame Lillard and Westbrook feud? That's one that I didn't see coming. I don't think it's at the top of the list of great NBA feuds, but we've seen that, I don't know, unfold and evolve in front of our eyes in this series. It's been something to watch.
Two competitive guys who were just matched up on each other. They were guarding each other at either end, and frankly, neither one can stop the other one because they're both such great offensive players. Although, again, they've got a really good system with Westbrook, and I haven't looked at the numbers on tonight specifically off the top of my head. I don't know what he's shooting, but like, that's been the fascinating part. They've laid back off him and dared him to shoot, and it's, you know, when he's attacking and getting to the rim and creating, he's dangerous. He's not shot well from the outside, period, this season. So, but it's been, I mean, they've been in their face, two really competitive guys. And frankly, those two have made this the most fun. I don't know that it's the best played. I think Denver, you know, there's a lot more drama in what's going on with Denver and San Antonio, which is, you know, in a tied game 5 tonight, although Denver's kind of running away with it. And I think they figured it out. But this has just been such an entertaining series because those two guys make it entertaining.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Let's talk about that Nuggets-Spurs series. And Kurt, and no matter who I talked to before this series began, they all told me Denver's a mirage. San Antonio, if they don't win this series, they're going to push them to 6 or 7 games. And lo and behold, it looks like that's actually going to happen. Why do the Spurs match up so well? Or maybe why was Denver built for regular season success but not for postseason success?
They rely a lot on team play, right? They rely a lot on, I mean, Jokic can get you some buckets, but they really need Jamal Murray and other guys to step up. They need, they rely a lot on cutters and stuff that's just hard to cover during the season. But once you really zone in on a defense for the playoffs, it's a little different. You're much more prepared for, well, this guy's going to make this pass and make this cut. And you're so much better prepped for what they're going to do that they take some of that away, and it becomes a little more one-on-one. It becomes about your ability to create. It took them a while to find some matchups that work, and frankly, just starting Torrey Craig has been huge for them. Will Barton was really struggling, and he's done better off the bench. And it's just they seem to have figured it out, but I think the other part of that was this was Denver's first time in the playoffs, and this was, to put it politely, not the first time for the Spurs. It was 22nd straight year or whatever.
Crazy.
And
yeah,
even though some of those players were new, it's like culturally they understand what it takes. And you know, the Spurs coach is pretty good. He's going to be okay.
So, yeah, Pop's okay, Kurt. Yeah, he's okay. I've heard of this guy before.
So between all of that, they just, I think they had an edge in how to handle things. But I think Denver started to figure it out. And by the way, if it is Denver-Portland next round, another really evenly matched series. It's probably going to be the one that ends up getting the least public exposure because it's just, I mean, yeah, it's got Lillard, but it's just not the same draw as some of the other ones. But that's a another really interestingly matched up series where I think those teams are fairly even.
Yeah, that would mean either Portland or Denver in the Western Conference Finals, which would be a little odd to think about. Talking to Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports. Any concern at all for the Warriors? We saw them melt down in that game two, a little closer than expected maybe in game four, but I kind of feel like we've seen this before in the first couple of rounds from Golden State. It seemed like they're just toying with their teams. I know we saw that here in New Orleans. It's kind of toying, it seemed like, with the Pelicans in the semifinals last year.
Yeah, they do tend to do that, but they better not against Houston. Houston and the Warriors probably close this thing out tomorrow night. As feisty as the Clippers are, they're overwhelmed talent-wise. And I thought Utah could give Houston a better battle than they did, but I just can't see them doing that. Having some of the success they've had now on the road, they had such a nice shooting night that I'm just not sure they're going to be able to replicate. That's the Western Conference Finals, to be honest with you. I mean, Houston's playing fantastic basketball right now. And if it's Houston, Golden State in the next round, I think that's another seven-game series. I think Houston, I think we get first impressions in our head, and they were so lost at the start of the season. And they without Trevor Ariza, they weren't the same. And, Chris Paul looked a step slower. He wasn't playing well. Clint Capella had signed a big contract and then enjoyed the summer and then had to play his way into shape a little. But they're there now. Like, they're there. They're defending. They're playing with themselves again. And they're the one team in the West that can match up and give Golden State some trouble. They've got some depth. So I still like Golden State in that series, but it's a lot closer than I would have thought it was a couple months ago. I thought it was a cakewalk for Golden State. I don't think that anymore. They're going to have to earn this one.
And it's the matchup, that series, that really the entire basketball world has been waiting for. Kurt, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. We'll probably do it again before these playoffs are over. So thanks so much.
I look forward to it, man. Take care.
All right. Kurt Heelan, NBCSports.com and Pro Basketball Talk lead writer and managing editor there. And again, right now, two games in progress. Denver all over the Spurs, 79-59, late part of the third quarter. Nuggets on their way, it looks like, to win in that game. And Portland closing the gap against the Thunder just a little bit. Mid-second quarter, the Thunder 48 and the Blazers 43. One more time earlier tonight, Toronto and the Sixers both closing out their series against the Magic and the Nets, respectively. They win those series 4-1. We'll take a break. When we come back, the NCAA made a couple of rule changes that you need to know about. One involving overtime, one involving the targeting rule. We'll tell you what that is. And did one NFL team, one team that everybody expects to be a contender again this year, show some serious panic in a trade they made? We'll get into that when the last lap continues here on WWL. A couple of changes in the NCAA's football rules, two big rules, one involving targeting, one involving the overtime rules. The NCAA announcing Tuesday that the Playing Rules Oversight Panel approved these changes. Starting next year, we'll start with the targeting one. There's going to be a higher standard for reviewing these penalties and overturning them. The new rules state, and here's what it states, when targeting penalties are reviewed, officials, they got to confirm every single element of the play, and there's three of them. And a quote here says, if any element of targeting cannot be confirmed, the replay official will overturn the targeting foul. There's not going to be an option for letting the call on the field stand. It's confirmed or it's overturned. No more the call stands, which is parlance for, well, we just didn't have enough evidence to overturn it. Now, the elements are these, per the NCAA rulebook. When there is a defenseless player, you got to have a defenseless player. He's got to be struck with forcible contact is another one, in the head or neck area. So defenseless player, forcible contact, head or neck player. If any of those elements are not confirmed, the targeting penalty will be overturned. And the other rule change involved overtime, and this one was a direct response to that 7 overtime wackiness we saw between Texas A&M and LSU. Once you get to a 5th overtime, now you're just going to run 2-point plays. Now you're just going to run 2-point conversion tries, and you're going to alternate that instead of starting at your opponent's 25. Now, that was a once in, a decade kind of situation when you have a 7 overtime game in a huge nationally televised contest like that. but the rules committee wanted none of that anymore. And frankly, no fan should want that either. These games need to be able to come to a conclusion before you're playing five-hour games, especially when we're still in a situation where these athletes aren't even able to use their darn likeness to make money. So, targeting rule and LSU fans, lots of consternation around that this last year with the ejections. And that gets changed. If it's not confirmed, it will be overturned. No more of this. It just stands. If you do commit three targeting fouls, penalties in the same season, you will be subject to a one-game suspension. So that's also in there. Interesting changes. In the NFL today, huge trade, massive trade involving the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, earlier this offseason, the Kansas City Chiefs traded away D Ford, their pass rushing edge guy, who was a top 15 edge rusher, according to Pro Football Focus this last year. Got a second round pick back for D Ford. Well, today, they traded for the Seahawks' Frank Clark. And they gave up a first and a second round pick to get Frank Clark, who had an equal number of sacks as D Ford this last year, and also was rated lower by Pro Football Focus than D Ford. Now, scheme's big in the NFL. I get it. D Ford had that offsides play that might have been the final straw there for him in Kansas City. And the money's not too much different. Frank Clark, once he was traded, almost immediately signed a five-year, $105 million contract with Kansas City. Now, Frank Clark has averaged 11 sacks in his last 3 years up in Seattle, making $20 million a year, a little over that. That works out to about $2 million per sack on an average year for Frank Clark. And he's also got some liabilities still, and sometimes major ones, when he's defending the run, which is critical, especially in that division. We got a couple of teams that can really run it. Frankly, I don't get this. This was a fleece job by the Seahawks. I don't know what Kansas City is thinking here. They trade away D Ford. You free up the space there, and you get back maybe a slightly better version of D Ford. I'm not saying I disagree with people who say Frank Clark is better than D Ford and will be better in that system than D Ford, but you gave up D Ford and a first-round pick for a moderate increase in production, if that, at that position. I don't get it. And then you're going to pay the guy $20 million a year? And I was going back and forth with some Kansas City fans on Twitter who, of course, are knee-jerk defending this. It doesn't make any sense. I don't care that you got a quarterback on a rookie contract. I don't care that your window is open. Your quarterback, the guy who just won MVP, is 23 years old. Your window should be open for a very long time if you have smart decisions inside your front office. I am sorry. This was not one today. This was the Kansas City Chiefs panicking big time. A first and second round pick for Frank Clark, and then you pay him $20 million a year? I mean, I'm happy for you, Frank Clark. Get paid, but that's a head-scratcher from Kansas City. Back after this on the last lap. Yeah, it's a weird move by Kansas City. And I get you, we need an edge rusher. I get that you're, right now, you have the ability to win a championship if you had the pieces that are right. And I do think Frank Clark is an improvement, although a slight one over D Ford. But that's not worth a first-round pick and a player at that spot, number 29 in the first round, which you should get an impact player. And don't give me this. Well, you can't find another Frank Clark at number 29. Frank Clark was picked at number 63. You can find Frank Clarks all the time at that spot in the first round. Does not make sense. That is not a team that's concerned about winning for the next 15 years with Patrick Mahomes. That's a team concerned about trying to win maybe now in a foolish way. Time will judge that one. And I don't think it's going to judge it very fairly. I mean, that's one of the bigger fleece jobs that I've seen. That's right up there with Khalil Mack last year. By the way, no, I'm not comparing Frank Clark to Khalil Mack. I'm saying the assets that the Bears, the few ones, they had to give up to get a future Hall of Famer, that was a fleece job by them to the Raiders. This is another one. AFC West team's getting fleeced. What's going on there? Draft Fest this week, a couple of days away from it, 3 days of wall-to-wall Saints coverage here on WWL. Thursday, we're going to be in studio because usually we're out on location, but no Saints pick that day. Doesn't mean our coverage is going to be any less comprehensive. We'll have 8 hours of it. It is our Saints draft preview with Zach Streif and Deuce McAllister starting at 4 o'clock, 4 to 6. They've got Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, Pete Carmichael, lots of more coaches. And then at 6, they'll hand it off to Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier. Christian Gehrig, Zach Streif will stay on board as they recap every pick in the first round as it happens. Friday, we will be on location. Draft Fest Friday at Desi Vegas Seafood and Prime Steaks in Metairie, 4 to midnight. And it's Steve Court and me from 4 to 6. You'll see us out there. I cannot wait for that. And then we hand it off to Bobby, Zach, Christian, and Mike from 6 to midnight, and the Saints do have a pick there. On Saturday, we're on location again for you up on the North Shore. Oh, this was a lot of fun last year, and we're going back to walk-ons again. Starting at 9 a.m., we'll be at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar in Covington, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Usually don't open until 11, I think, on Sundays, but they're opening up early for us. It'll be Steve Court and myself again from 9 to 11, first take on the draft, and then followed by Zach, Deuce, Dettillier, Bobby Hebert for the rest of the day. Now that's going to be fantastic. We go till 6 p.m. on Saturday. Christian and Geller will be out at Saints headquarters bringing us the latest from Coach Payton and Mickey Loomis that day. Again, Draft Fest Saturday, walk-ons in Covington. I cannot wait. This is always one of the most fun times of the year here on the radio station, and it's going to be a lot of fun. That starts Thursday at 4 o'clock, appointment radio. You need to be listening to us. Big news of the day, Scott Woodward over at LSU being introduced as LSU's new athletic director. After that, he had a chance to converse with our very own Christian Gehrig. Here's that conversation. That was Scott Woodward, new LSU athletic director, earlier today on Sports Talk with Christian Gehrig. And yes, the Scott Woodward era has begun over at LSU. Open lines for the rest of the show now. What'd you think of that press conference early today? And are you all on board the Scott Woodward train? It sounds like everybody is. I was telling you earlier in the show, I don't think I can find one person who is not on that bandwagon and all the way on. Not even, you know, one leg hanging off. Like you're inside, buttoned up, belted down. 504-260-1870. That's area code 504-260-1870, our text line. 870-870. Sports Libs coming up as well on the last lap. Saints fans, tomorrow you can meet Bobby Hebert and Christian Gehrig out at Cadillac of New Orleans. They're going to bring you Sports Talk live there at Cadillac of New Orleans from 4 to 7 p.m. They'll be previewing, of course, the NFL draft. So tomorrow beginning at 4, Cadillac of New Orleans out in Metairie, 3100 Lime Street. And you can hear it right here on WWL. Logan Falgu, the producer, tonight. Time to play a little Sports Libs. We don't have any Tommy Boy or Game of Thrones questions for you yet. Although, before we get off the air tonight, I got to hear your Tommy Boy review. But Sports Libs, a little Mad Libs. You play that on road trips. Same thing. Well, not really the same thing, but kind of the same thing. He's got a blank in these questions and statements. Haven't seen them. You can play along on the text line at 870-870 if you'd like. What you got for us tonight, Logan?
All right, leading it off, we have blank will prove to be a big part of the Saints this season.
Resiliency and revenge, the two R's. Revenge on their minds for that Rams game, which is early, and resiliency because the first part of that schedule is brutal. So revenge and resiliency. And I guess we'll find out about both those things pretty early.
All right, next one up here. In the draft, blank is the most important element we need to be paying attention to.
Panic. I'll say it again because Kansas City just panicked. You will have teams that panic in the first round. It happens every single year, and you'll know when they do. Picks that just seem out of the blue, out of nowhere, that nobody predicted. Trades that seem like, well, what in the world did they just give up? Was that a couple of years ago when San Francisco got the Bears to give them a two different picks to move up one spot in the draft. It was crazy. So panic. Teams will panic. The ones that don't panic will have the best draft.
All right, next one up here. Woodward will have a blank effect over his tenure.
That's tough. I almost want to say a calming effect on the LSU fan base, but I don't think LSU fans will ever be calm. They want to win. How about a TBD effect? Can I say that?
Sure.
Because the expectations are just so sky high. I expect him to be what he's been his entire career, which is darn good at his job. But are the expectations for him and his tenure here really realistic? I don't know.
All right, next one up here. Blank is LSU's most important non-revenue sport.
Right now, it might be gymnastics. And that's the easy answer to go to because they've been national runners-up and they were again this year. But there's legitimate excitement around that program over in Baton Rouge. I understand if you haven't been to Baton Rouge, especially during, you know, if it's a conference tournament time or regional time or this last week when it's your national championship meet, you wouldn't really understand that and you think of gymnastics, really. But there really is. It's one of the reasons why Scott Rabelais covers it, and he knows it. A great columnist for The Advocate.
All right, and the last question up here. Is there anything being overshadowed by the draft?
NBA playoffs, which they had darn good NBA playoffs going on right now already, especially in the East, and we're going to see that. Nobody's going to be talking about NBA playoffs, especially in this part of the country, especially when the Pelicans aren't playing. But legitimately pretty darn good NBA playoffs going on right now. Let me give you a scoreboard update here. Was that the last one?
Yes.
Oh, okay. There you go. So it was a good transition. Scoreboard tonight, Portland at halftime, one-point lead on the Thunder, 61-60. Denver about to wrap up their victory over the Spurs, 108-90. They would go up 3-2 in that series. And we told you earlier, Toronto and Philadelphia both closed out their series against the Magic and the Nets, respectively. They won that series 4-1. All right, I need a report on Tommy Boy. I've been waiting for this, and I remembered about it. Anybody who does not know the entire story here, the Cliff's Notes version of it, we were talking about great movies, great comedies one day, and Logan told us that he not only had never seen Tommy Boy, the great Chris Farley, cult classic comedy, but he'd never even heard of it. So he told me earlier that he finally had, and he promised us a Logan Falgoot review of Tommy Boy. So, Logan, what'd you think?
I found the movie very funny. You know, I got into it. You know, I think David Spade and Chris Farley really did play off each other very well in that movie. You know, it's been a couple weeks since I've seen it, but it's still pretty fresh in my mind, you know. Overall, I'd rate it about 8 out of 10.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. That's about where I'd have it, for sure. Had you seen a lot of Chris Farley before? I know you're a young guy, so you missed Chris Farley's heyday.
I did miss Chris Farley's heyday, but I've seen him a good bit on SNL.
Now, the second one that those two were in, it's not as good, but it's close, is Black Sheep. Have you heard Black Sheep?
I've heard of it, have not seen it.
Okay, well, when you get time, since you like them and it was 8 out of 10, if you're looking for some laughs, it's basically Tommy Boy, but instead of running around selling brake pads, they're trying to rally votes. It's like about an election kind of thing. All definitely right. Worth it, though. It's the same movie and the same premise. And they drive around in the car, kind of same thing, an old rickety car, and they just, you know, yuck it up and have laughs. Those two had such good chemistry, didn't they?
Yeah.
Man, I had way too young, Chris Farley. I remember I was... This shows you how maybe old or young, I don't know what I am, but I remember I was sitting in like our computer class, I want to say I was a freshman in high school, and we got the news that Chris Farley had died of a drug overdose, and it was kind of devastating to all of us. It was crazy. But I am proud of you for finally watching the movie, Logan.
Thank you.
So I'll give you a pass on the Game of Thrones, although you tell me you're going to watch that because you've watched Tommy Boy. So, you know, you passed that with flying colors. An 8 out of 10, I might have gone 9, but I'll give you 8. Like, you know, it's probably dated a little bit. All right, we're going to wrap up the show coming up next, and we'll hear from Scott Woodward on how he wants to increase LSU's student attendance. Certainly, that's been a topic of conversation, especially at football games. We'll wrap up the last lap coming back next. A couple of game sevens in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. The Boston Bruins eliminate the Maple Leafs 5-1. And right now, the Vegas Golden Knights on the road up 2-0 on the Sharks. And in the second period, a little Stanley Cup update. Thanks to Logan Falgu behind the glass, our producer today. Thanks to Diane Newman, our program director. Tom Manessis, our day producer and assistant program director. Helen Santanic for helping out. Thanks to you for listening. And our guests, Steve Court, Glenn Gilbo, Jacob Wass, and Kurt Heelan. If you missed any of the show, you can check the podcast at WWL.com or the radio.com app. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Seth Dunlap. We keep the conversation going there all day. And you can follow us on Twitter, at WWLAMFM. We are back tomorrow previewing the NFL draft. As always, I leave you with our moment of zen. Here's more Scott Woodward talking about how he'd fix declining student attendance over in Baton Rouge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.